to Anna with Two N's. You're here with me, Anna, and this is my English podcast where you can learn English, have fun, and make English part of your life. You can follow me on Instagram and social media at Anna with underscore two N's underscore English. I've actually just changed my tag name recently just to add the little extra English part, just to make it clear what my account is all about. But if you type in Anna with two N's, I'm sure I will pop up. Now, today's episode is a continuation of a previous episode that I did in May, where I was talking about how to debate, or really, I guess more widely, how to express your thoughts and your opinion. So this is a continuation of that, and today I want to look at how to agree and disagree and different ways that we do that. This is going to be a slightly longer episode than normal, okay? So maybe we're looking at a little 20-minute, 25-minute episode, and it's going to be a little bit more conversational, okay? So I'm going to be talking about different statements, some of them controversial, some of them not so controversial, but nothing that should be offensive. And I'm going to tell you if I agree or disagree, and I'm going to highlight the vocabulary that I use to do that. This is an exercise I do a lot in the class with my students when we want to try and make them speak. So we want them to give an opinion. And naturally what comes out is, I agree, I disagree, etc. Now, before I start, the most common mistake that people make with this area, with agree and disagree, is they use the verb to be. So they say, I am agree, or I'm not agree. That is the most common mistake that students make, because in other languages you use the verb to be, but in English, agree is the verb. I agree, I don't agree. I disagree, I don't disagree. You can say I don't disagree as well. Sorry, it just sounded strange for a second, but you can't do that. So that's the most common mistake. So that's the thing you want to avoid. It's not I am agree, I agree, or I don't agree. Also, something important to note that I personally think is that it's more common to say I don't agree rather than I disagree. I disagree tends to be, but not always, a little bit more formal, and I think it's more common to just use agree in the negative. So let's get going. I'm going to read some statements and I'm going to tell you whether I agree or disagree, give you a little bit of a reason why, and I will highlight the vocabulary. Now, disclaimer, I'm not saying that I'm an expert in any of these topics. Okay, so before anybody comes hunting for me on that, I'm not an expert, but I'm just expressing my opinion, okay? You can agree with me, you can disagree with me, or we can agree to disagree. That's a really nice expression in English. Agree to disagree means we can agree to not agree, like to not have the same opinion, and that's okay. And one thing that you can say is, okay, we can agree to disagree on that. Which basically means if the discussion's going nowhere and both sides don't agree, and at that point there's going to be nobody's coming together, then we can agree to disagree. And we can use that in lots of different situations, in professional context, in personal context as well. Today in this episode is going to be more formal, conversational, towards the professional end, rather than a very colloquial conversation that I would be having with a friend where I would express myself very differently. So we're going to take it more kind of neutral professional ground, because I think that's probably more common and more useful for you guys as well. So let's have a look at the first statement that I'm going to read, and I'm going to tell you if I agree or disagree and highlight the vocabulary. Okay, let's have a look at the first sentence. So social media sites should be blocked at work. Well, I partly agree with that. Okay, I partly agree. I don't fully agree. I partly agree. I'm kind of like 50%, 60%. I partly agree with that. I do think that social media is a big distraction at work, especially if you don't work in social media. Obviously, if you work in social media, you have to be on social media for the majority of your day. And actually, I think that must be quite a stressful job. I mean, I kind of dip my toe in the water with social media. To dip your toe is to do something a little bit, but not too much. I dip my toe in and it's an extra thing that I do on top of my job, but it's not my full job. And sometimes I think, wow, if you had a job where you're working with social media, you just must never be able to switch off. Like, constantly information, checking things, updating things. I think, wow, that must be really stressful, actually. Anyway, I partly agree. I do think that some social media sites might be beneficial if they're blocked, but also at the same time, you can't stop people checking their Facebook for 5 minutes if you don't want to. However, in my opinion, I think most people don't sit all day on social media, on Facebook or whatever. I just don't think most people have time to do that. Of course, there's exceptions to every rule, but I partly agree. I guess if there's a problem with it, then I would address it. But I don't agree that you should totally ban social media. Maybe in schools for some ages. But yeah, I mean, social media is also a really useful tool for looking at things. So it's a double-edged sword. So I partly agree. I guess it depends on the state of the situation in the office. Okay, next. People who fare dodging on train or bus is okay if you can get away with it. Now, fare dodging basically, a fare means a ticket and dodge means to avoid. So basically, not buying a ticket is okay if you aren't punished. To get away with something is to do something without punishment, or to do something bad and not receive a punishment for it. Okay, I absolutely 100% disagree with this statement. Okay, so I absolutely disagree. I'm really adding emphasis onto that. Or I completely disagree would also be another way that you could express that. I completely disagree with that statement. I think if you can afford to take a train or a bus, you should pay for it. I absolutely have no time for people who fare dodge, don't pay for things. No time for that at all. Notice how I use the expression with no time. This is very common when we talk about people or groups of people or things that we just don't want to deal with, or we just don't think are good. Like, I have no time for people who are. Or I have no time for something. So I have no time for people that don't pay trains and bus tickets, because I was on the receiving end of that when I was commuting a lot in the UK. The UK, by the way, is super expensive to travel by train and by bus. And, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, well, if you're not paying for a ticket, eventually somewhere down the line, you know, we're all going to have to pay for that because they're going to increase the prices. So I'm very clear about this one. I completely disagree. I think if you can afford it, okay, if you can afford it and you use a train or a bus or any kind of public transport, you should pay for it. I actually had a friend, she's a bit of an opportunist, okay, somebody who takes opportunities. She was actually on holiday in the Alps in France, and she managed to get from the Alps, I think there was some kind of weather event which meant that the plane couldn't fly, so she had to find another way to get home. She managed to get from the Alps by train all the way to London without paying a ticket. Like, completely free. And I remember thinking, wow, I could never do that. I'm one of these people, I'm a bit of a goody two-shoes when it comes to buying tickets. Like, I would feel instantly guilty. You know, like those videos on YouTube of guilty dogs. Like, I think anyone in that train would know that I hadn't bought a ticket because my face would just show everything. But she's an opportunist. She goes for it. And she's like, well, look, probably nothing's going to happen. And if it does, I'll deal with it when it happens. But for me, it's just a no-go for me. Like, pay your ticket. I don't have many strong opinions about things, but this one I do. Okay, next. Okay, I like this one. This is a slightly more personal one. You will be happier if you stay unmarried. You'll be happier if you stay unmarried. Okay, quite a strong statement. So I have to say, I'm a little bit on the fence with this one. I'm a little bit on the fence. What does it mean? Well, to be on the fence is to be undecided. Okay, a fence is something that borders the limit of an area. For example, a house. You might be familiar with the term white picket fence, which describes those kind of suburban fences that you see in America, suburban America, a Stepford Wives type thing. Stepford Wives, sorry, plural. So I'm a little bit on the fence, okay, which means you're kind of in between two parts. You're not exactly sure, you're undecided. So that's a nice one that you can use. I'm quite on the fence about that. It's a very personal thing for me, kind of marriage, because I've had different experiences in my life, which maybe you've had as well. And my outlook on marriage has been greatly affected by the relationships that I've had growing up. Perhaps you're the same as me. Perhaps your parents have separated and or not, or perhaps they're still together. So I would be lying if I said that that hasn't tainted my image of marriage. And often a big debate that people talk about with marriage is, what is the value of marriage now? Like, what's the value of marriage? Many people split up. Many people divorce. Divorce is kind of like the technical, official way to say that. But you could also say it by using a phrasal verb, split up. Many people split up, many people divorce, many people separate. Now, if you say separate, you're not telling me necessarily that that formal process has happened. It could have done, but you're not expressing it explicitly. That would be with divorce. So what's the value of marriage? Like, what do people, you know, people can just, you know, get married and divorce. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. There's absolutely, I think, sometimes when it's necessary. But, you know, what is the value of marriage and what does that mean to different people? For me, it's not really something that I've ever thought about. And I certainly don't know if somebody would be happier staying unmarried. I guess I think you'll definitely be happier with the right person, and if there's not a right person, then on your own. I think a lot of people just struggle with being on their own, to be honest. A lot of people haven't experienced that very much. A lot of people don't want to experience it, and that's okay too, but I think that's the main crux of it, really. So I think you're always going to be happier with the right person. Maybe you're with the wrong person, or a person who doesn't bring out the best side in you, which I think is very common. You know, and if there's not a right person, then it's better to just be alone, I think. I'd rather be on my own. I think a lot of people would rather be on their own than with the wrong person, to be honest. I think most people could agree with me for that. One thing I do agree with is I do and believe in is good timing. So I really don't believe in the idea of soulmates. I don't believe in that idea. I think there are several people around the world that you're going to be compatible with. And timing is the thing that makes everything happen. Perhaps there's a good person here, someone you're compatible with there. But the timing just means that you don't kind of fit. You don't match. It's like sliding doors. So I think there's several people that you can be compatible with, but it just depends what point you're at in your life and what point the other person is at in their life. Of course, you can still have a fantastic love story and fall head over heels, but I just don't believe in the idea of soulmate, that there's one person out there for you. And I think that's proved by the fact that lots of people remarry, lots of people start seeing someone when you're younger, and then eventually you kind of break up. I always find a lot of people break up in their mid-20s. I mean, that's kind of, well, I'm in my late 20s now, but that kind of seemed to be quite a big time when people would kind of, the changes would be going on and whatever. So I have all of that to come. Also, I'm not an expert because I've never been married and I don't plan to be married, but you never know. You never know. I think everything changes when you're with the right person. Maybe you agree with me or not, or maybe you would agree to disagree. Remember, to agree to disagree means to understand that you don't have the same points of view, and that's okay. Maybe at a later date you will, but at that point in time you don't. Okay, let's have a look at another one. Casual dress codes are beneficial for the company. Casual dress codes are beneficial for the company. So by casual here, what I'm talking about is like jeans, t-shirts, or whatever. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. Okay, so I'm not giving it, it's not a super strong disagreement, but I'm saying I don't really agree. So you could say, I don't really agree. I don't necessarily agree with that, because I think it totally depends on the industry that you're working in. For example, in my job, my dress code is kind of flexible, but also at the same time, would you want to have a class with a teacher who didn't present themselves well? I'm not sure. Perhaps you would, but I don't want to present myself like that. So that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm wearing a suit or a dress or whatever. No, it just means that I'm presentable and I look nice for that environment and I look serious and professional. Serious. You know, I want people, when you're teaching, you have to kind of get respect. And one way to get respect is to show that you respect them and you're turning up and you're looking professional and you're looking great. And maybe that is different in different industries. For example, of course, it's going to be a little bit stuffy if you turn up to somewhere that's very casual or a very modern company and you come in a suit and tie and it's stuffy. Like, we call a room stuffy when it's too hot, but we also kind of call it stuffy when people take things too seriously. So it might be a little bit stuffy, but it just all depends. So I don't necessarily agree. I don't think, for example, wearing jeans is going to solve all our problems. Absolutely not. And also, I really think a lot of these kind of technology companies, let's just kind of broad them like that, or these modern companies that have beers in the fridge and they have ping pong tables, and that's great and it's really fun, but I do think there's more to it than that. I went to an event a few years ago where people were talking about this, and it's a really nice front and it's very attractive, and you think, oh, I can have a beer whilst I'm working and playing golf with my feet while someone's telling me about my meeting that I have tomorrow. But it doesn't mean that it's perfect, and actually some of that stuff can be a little bit distracting. So I think it's kind of a bit misleading putting all those things, and people think, wow, technology companies must have the best working life ever. And I don't think that's always true. It's just, it's still work. You still have to do work, but maybe it's in a more fun environment. But I certainly don't think that wearing jeans or t-shirts necessarily is going to make the company better. It just depends what your business is and who your clients are and what interactions you have with people. Okay, let's have a little look at some more. Sorry, just had to sing. It was building up inside of me. Okay, we are all basically selfish as human beings. We're all basically selfish. Yes, I do agree with that statement. Now, notice how here I use the auxiliary in the sentence. I do agree with that statement. I do agree. Now, we can use the auxiliary there to add emphasis. I do agree. I could say I agree, but if I say I do agree, I'm adding more emphasis. And notice how I put a lot of intonation there on the do. I think if you look at human behavior and the way that we act when we're kind of in our most natural form, we do express quite a lot of selfishness and this idea of survival mode. And of course, there are some people that are more selfish than others, and that's always going to happen. But I do think that we have a tendency to be wired to be selfish, and it's something that we have to work at. Now, obviously, I'm at a certain age in my life where, and time in my life where, my world kind of is my world, and I live in a bit of a bubble, especially after being in confinement as well, where I've been spending nearly 2 months alone, and you feel like you're kind of on an island. And sometimes I have to remind myself that I am a very, very minuscule part of everything, you know, really actually completely kind of insignificant. And I think it's good to remind yourself of that every now and again, because really we create problems that are just not even important, me being the first one in that line. So I do think that people are quite selfish. I think that's natural. I think we're all selfish, and I don't think we should beat ourselves up too much about being like that. But I do think, of course, there are times when it's important not to be selfish. The opposite of being selfish is selfless. So selfless is where you put everybody else before yourself. And I mean, it's a good quality, but it also, if you're too selfless, then you're not looking after yourself. You're not taking care of the things that you need to do. So it's a balance, really, between being selfish and selfless. Like everything, I really believe balance is probably one of the best kind of mantras to live by, not too much of one thing and not too much of another. I mean, really, I think there's not really much anything better than that. It's one thing that I always try and remind myself of. So I do agree with that statement. I do think that we are all basically a bit selfish, but that we can work to not be selfish. And there are really important times when you shouldn't be selfish. I put my hands up. But to put your hands up means I admit that I can be a little bit selfish sometimes. And I think it is from being quite independent and doing my own thing that I kind of sometimes forget that I'm really not the only cog in the wheel. And actually a lot of people around me are also involved in my life in a way. And it's not just my, you know, tiny bubble, like, I'm in my tiny bubble, go away. No, there is no bubble. Like, your world is actually not really how you see it. I read an amazing book, I'm going to plug it here, called Liminal Thinking, which I read a few years ago when I was living in the UK. And it's kind of about how you see the world. And there are parts of it that kind of delve deeper into that. It's not a long book, okay? And I really liked it. And it changed the way that I thought about things. I mean, it's nothing like, nothing in there it says is like, oh my God, like, you know. But it just, you know, when you just think, oh, I never thought of that. I love those moments when I'm reading books. I really, really love that. So I'm like, ah, I never thought of that. So Liminal Thinking, I'm going to look here because I'd like to give the author's name because that's important. Liminal Thinking by Dave Gray. There you go. Got it. Came up. It was somewhere deep embedded in my brain. Liminal Thinking by Dave Gray. Create the change you want by changing the way you think. So I went through this period of time when I was all about change and how can I improve myself and self-improvement. I'm still about that, but that was kind of an intense phase where I was just like absorbing all this information. So that was a great book. Okay, next one. Let's do a couple more to wrap up. Happy employees do a better job. Well, duh. I mean, what can I say about that? Like, I disagree. I completely agree with that statement. Happy employees do a better job. I mean, happy people just do a better job at everything in any time. Well, I would kind of argue with the word or the adjective happy. Maybe I would say content. I think we get too obsessed with the fact of being happy. I think there's many different emotions that are within that, you know. But yes, happy employees do a better job. If I'm thinking about me across the trajectory of my career and I think about different points in my life where I was happiest, I would say that I definitely did a better job when I was happy. I don't know, sometimes when you're going through a difficult time, we often throw ourselves into work. This is a really common expression that we use in English, to throw yourself into work when you're having a hard time or going through a difficult situation. It's often a good way to distract yourself, and actually you can find that you're super productive. You're not really going through a great time in your life, but while work you're doing fantastically. And it's a bit of a mask because people get confused because they think that you're doing really well, but actually maybe you're having a bit of a difficult time. I haven't necessarily gone through that so much myself, but I've seen other people go through those situations. So it can be a bit of both. I think it's maybe a little bit more to do also with trust and the amount of freedom that you have between you, your boss, and your colleagues. And when you have a really good team, you don't really even notice the fact that you have a good team. You kind of take it for granted, and things just work, and things just happen, and the trust is there. It's unspoken, and you kind of can do what you want. For example, in my job that I do at the moment, I teach in a great company, and they really give you the freedom to, within limits, of course, within the limits of what they want you to cover and the material they want you to deliver. But they really give you a lot of freedom to develop as an individual, and they want you to create your own brand, your own kind of style within the kind of limits of the method. And you know, you really do feel quite empowered by that. You feel like, yeah, I can do what I like. And sometimes it's difficult, though, because sometimes it's nice to have like a lot of direction. Sometimes I just like someone to say, okay, do this, do that, do this. But with this job, it's quite, you know, it's up to you. Like, off you go, you have to do it. So Yeah, but I do agree happy employees do a better job. I mean, who can disagree with that? But I do think there are other points in your life when you can do a really good job, but you're not necessarily, speech mark, happy. Okay. Number seven. This is number seven on my list here. Oh, I like this one. Companies should have strict policies against dating at work. I totally disagree with this statement because I think it's just unrealistic to expect that people who work in the same place, that spend most of their life at work, are not going to like each other. I mean, how many of you listening right now, have you met anyone at work or liked anybody at work? Or maybe you've met your partner at work? There's a very high possibility that yes, because you come into contact with people all the time. New people, when you move into a new job. I mean, I really don't think strict policies against dating work, because I think people will do it anyway. Of course, there comes a point where if somebody's having a relationship and it becomes a problem, I guess the thing is keep it professional. I mean, if you're an adult and you're a mature adult, you're going to keep it professional anyway, and you're not going to flaunt it in front of everybody else. I think it depends also what office you work in. I have to say, I've never really worked in an office where this has been like a big thing, like relationships and dating. Because I've always kind of worked with people a lot older than me. And, you know, it wasn't like I worked in a really young team with a lot of people my age. But I do know I have a friend who works in an IT company, and it is like, it's like first dates, you know, maybe a little bit more seedy. But yes, there's a lot of movement. So no, I completely disagree. I don't think that people should have strict dating policies at work. If it becomes an issue, deal with it then. But I don't think that it's good to start off like that. I mean, you're basically saying that people can't like each other. Like, it's just ridiculous. No, I don't agree at all. Okay, let's do one to wrap up. Wrap up. Wrap up means to finish. Okay, let's have a look. Let's see which one I like, because, yes. Let's do another one about work. Open floor plans are better than cubicle farms. Open floor plans are better than cubicle farms. So let me just explain that sentence, because probably some of you are freaking out and you're like, oh my God. Open floor plans are when you have the office and it's spread out and it's all together in one room. Okay, when you're all working in one room. And cubicle farms basically means small offices or little pods. I disagree with that statement. I disagree with it. I don't agree. But at the same time, I do remember having some really funny moments being on a cluster. A cluster is like some desks together with people that I really liked, and just having loads of laughs. So I love the laughs on the open plan. But what I don't like is when it's just so noisy and you just have something to do and you're like, I just want an office to go to. Ideal situation, a little bit of open plan, a little bit of office. That would be the ideal, but yes, not always the case. So I don't agree. I don't think open floor plans are better. I think it depends on the person. I think actually you'd find that a lot of people would opt to have a quieter place to work if they could. But nowadays, of course, that's pretty much impossible. Let's just shove as many people as we can in the same room. I don't think it's always very effective. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed that episode. A little bit more conversational. So you're picking up as well the way that I'm speaking, the vocabulary that I'm using, how I'm telling stories, how I'm explaining myself, which is always useful to hear. I think you really need to be motivated by that. Listening is a really fantastic tool. I know this because I use it when I'm practicing Spanish. And sometimes you start speaking and you say something, you're like, oh my God, did that just come out with, and I didn't think about it. Like, you just start saying things because you're hearing, you're listening to things all the time, and things just come to you a lot easier. I don't know how to describe it. Maybe you've had that feeling or not. You have to let me know. So listening is such an important tool, as well as learning different grammar points or vocabulary or expressions. You're just listening to the way that somebody is saying something, which is really useful. So let's have a little quick refresh on agree and disagree. I don't agree is the most common way to say disagree. I don't really agree. I don't necessarily agree. I agree. I do agree. You're putting a little bit of emphasis using the auxiliary in the statement. Remember, the most common mistake to avoid is I am agree or I'm not agree. I agree or I don't agree. So that gives you a little bit of a little bit of extra vocab to when you're talking about discussions. Remember the expression, we can agree to disagree, which means we can accept that we have different points of view, but we're going to move on. So if the conversation isn't going anywhere and you think, well, this is impossible, we can agree to disagree on that one. And that's totally appropriate and polite to say in a meeting, for example, with the correct tone of voice. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast episode. Remember to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Anna with _2Ns_English, the new added little extra bit. Don't forget my live streams or my live stream classes every Thursday at 5 p.m. on my Instagram, where I cover different pieces of grammar and vocabulary. Make sure you check it out. And as always, leave me a comment on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iVoox. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Give me a rating if you can. And I will see you all very, very soon. Bye-bye.